The Buckmaster Radio Program is paid for by Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or their sponsors.
That is not Bill Buckmaster's music normally. In fact, you know, for that music, you have to bring a razor blade. So this is Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. And Bill is, you may have heard, in Alaska. And he got there and took a fall off a sidewalk and is now sitting on the balcony of his hotel in, you know, somewhere in North Alaska, nursing a broken arm.
Oh.
So we all wish Bill and his wife, lovely wife, Anne, you know, the best time they could possibly have when you're in pain and on medication.
Had some good times on medication.
Oh, well, that's true. I wasn't going to go there. The voice you just heard is the voice of James Reel, who is the director of classical music at Arizona Public Media.
Hello.
Hello. And this is the fifth time in a row, the fifth May, when Bill has been on vacation, that James has been nice enough to come here to the studio and do a show that includes music. In fact, it's all about music.
You guys never learn from your mistakes.
I know,
so here,
James.
I am again.
So this time we have this little pandemic going on. And when James and I started talking about what to do on the show, what kind of music to feature, we started talking about the idea of loneliness and seclusion, and how composers and musicians deal with loneliness and seclusion.
Because that's what a lot of people have felt this past year.
Exactly. And now as we're coming out of it, for instance, here at the station, we're accepting the CDC rules on masks, and nobody's wearing one, which is really great. But the music that you heard in the introduction briefly is the second act introduction to Beethoven's opera Fidelio. Because that was the first thing that popped into my mind when James said loneliness and isolation. That music goes directly into the first appearance in the opera of actually the lead character, or one of the lead characters, whose name is Florestan, or Don Florestan.
And he doesn't even show up until halfway through the opera.
Exactly. But he shows up in chains in a dungeon.
That's right.
And exclaims, Gott, welch dunkel hier, God, how dark it is here. And that is, to my mind, the ultimate expression of loneliness.
He's in the lowest dungeon of the dungeons in this prison. He's a political prisoner. He's not a criminal. He's a political prisoner. And he's been locked in the dark for who knows how long. And he misses his wife. Naturally,
oh, yes.
He longs for freedom, but he realizes that there's probably very little hope of getting out of a situation.
Right. And, you know, you just wonder how anybody can kind of deal with that. And, of course, he has illusions. I mean, he is, what's the word I'm looking for, seeing ghosts. And in this aria, Gott welch dunkel hier, he sees his wife, and he sees the ghost, what he believes is a ghost of his wife, and he's just on the verge of being a total madman.
Are we going to hear a little bit of that, or are
you know, it's kind of difficult to listen to, so I kind of wasn't
going
to go there.
We don't need any more of that.
We
no.
will, at the end of the program, hear how Beethoven resolves some of these feelings, because, you know, Beethoven was certainly a very complex character, but not necessarily a gloomy one.
No. Well, you know, spoiler alert for those who are interested in the opera but haven't heard it yet, it does end happily.
It does end happily.
Because the prisoner's wife, dressed as a boy, gets into the prison, and through her efforts, not only her husband, but all the prisoners are released in the end.
Right. And there's a very upright, you know, type chorus that the the prisoners sing. And what we'll hear, however, is, I think, kind of the exact descendant of that chorus, which is from Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, the Ode to Joy, which is clearly not Isolation and Desolation.
No.
We'll hear some of that at the end of the end of the program. But desolation and isolation is certainly something that is not necessarily unique to classical composers. So one of the other first things that came to my mind when we were talking about this was actually a song from the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical, Oklahoma. And it's sung not by the main character, not by the romantic leads, but by the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Judd Fry. And it was in the original cast, Howard Da Silva. We're going to hear just a little piece of it. It's called Lonely Room. It's sung here by Schuller Hensley. And we'll chat on the other side of listening to some of this.
The floor creaks, the door squeaks. There's a field mouse a-nibbling on a broom. And I sit by myself, like a cobweb on a shelf, by myself in a lonely room.
So what could be sadder than that?
Singing from your coffin, I think, but aside from that, I don't think you can get much lower than that kind of sentiment right there.
Well, later on in the musical, Judd Fry, the villain, and Curly, the hero, sing a song called Poor Judd is Dead, and Judd is talking about his own death.
Yeah, they pronounce it dead.
Dead, yes.
Poor Judd is dead.
Right. In the movie, by the way, Rod Steiger, the great actor, plays Judd Fry.
Ah, but you know, in the movie, they didn't use the song we just heard. They
That's
cut
correct.
It from the movie. So if you knew Oklahoma only from the movie, you don't know that song.
That's true. That's very true. You always know things I don't know off the top of my head, which is why you're here. So I'm here with James Reel. We're looking at how musicians have dealt with loneliness and desperation and how they come out of that.
Do we have time to talk about Judd a little
Let's
bit more?
Let's do that.
Because he's a very interesting figure. He's not just a two-dimensional villain, and in that song, which unfortunately sometimes gets cut, you come to understand him more. Now, Judd is a bully. He's violent. He's rough. And yet, he feels loneliness just like anyone else. And he's there in that crummy room, living alone. He has no woman in his life. He has no friends, really. And the question that arises in my mind is Judd a nasty guy because he's lonely, or is he lonely because he's a nasty guy? Now, in the Beethoven opera, Fidelio was a political prisoner. He had nothing to do with it. He just crossed the wrong guy. But Judd has these personality issues. Are they because he's alone against his will? I don't know.
That's a great question, and it's a great subject for discussing with people who have been analyzing how people are reacting to this pandemic and the isolation that the pandemic has caused many people. And there have been certainly mental health issues that have arisen as a result of people just not being able to go outside or not feeling comfortable being around other people, and Judd Fry certainly suffers from that. However, Rodgers and Hammerstein do kind of resolve the loneliness issues, not necessarily for Judd, but for the audience. And they do so in a song that will be familiar to, I think, most of our listeners. And the singer here is Hugh Jackman, a Wolverine. Yeah! And he's going to take us through the theme of Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain. Oklahoma, every night.
Gosh, I wish we could listen to more of that. We're getting to the end of this segment. The time does fly. But, what could be more evocative of how you feel when you can finally get out than listening to that lyric?
That's right. getting out into nature is one thing that a lot of people find invigorating, restorative. Sometimes, though, people escape into nature because they are fleeing problems in urban life, problems they have with other people. And I think later in the show, we're going to find examples of both kinds of getting into nature, what nature means to you.
And, you know, it's interesting because some people just need to get away. I know a guy by the name of James Real who just spent a couple of days up in the California mountains hiking, largely because I think we discussed it just felt good to get out.
It does. It does. You're out with nature, and even if it rains on you and the scenic trail you're hiking along is fogged in, it's okay because you're out, you're doing something unusual, and you feel a connection with something other than yourself and your preoccupations.
And we'll talk more about that as the show goes on, as we get into the next segment. I should note that the Buckmaster Show is broadcasting from the Green Things Socolow Village studio, and that the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And by the way, for anybody who wants to maybe join in the conversation briefly, the live line here, of course, is 940-2040. Let's just pay the bills for a second here and talk about one of Bill Buckmaster's favorite sponsors, and that would be Mona's Danish Bakery. The home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's is open for breakfast and lunch from 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. And of course, treat yourself to their mouth-watering pastries, including the famous Danish Kringle. Mona'sDanishBakery.com, or just go to BuckmasterShow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. We will return with James Real because Bill's on vacation and we're having fun with music.
Oklahoma, when the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Oh. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
And we're back live in the studio. Shelley Fishman filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. And I'm here and honored to be here with James Reel, the director of classical music at Arizona Public Media. And we're doing this for the fifth year in a row. Hi, James.
Hello.
And we're talking about loneliness. Oh, God, how to view this? Well, because of the pandemic and because loneliness is something that so many people here in the world, in the country, in the world, have been feeling in their isolation and having to kind of shelter down. So in talking about loneliness, how do lyricists, librettists deal with these issues?
Oh, gosh, you're asking me? Well, it's easy to express by a single singer. It's hard to find choruses about loneliness because you don't get big groups of people.
Right.
Well, actually, that is kind of a phenomenon that started in the early Romantic era, continued through the 20th century, this loneliness within society. But usually we get this portrait of an individual who's in a lonely room, like
right.
Judd from Oklahoma,
right.
or who's out in the wilderness wandering around, either feeling sorry for himself or herself, or taking consolation in not having to deal with the issues that they have with society.
But composers seem to deal with that kind of person in a compassionate way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Even the villain in Oklahoma we heard from a few minutes ago. It's a very compassionate portrait. I think a lot of composers work in isolation. So they know what it's like to be alone, whether they are necessarily lonely or not. They're alone. It's hard to write music when you're surrounded by nattering people or other distractions. Some composers actually were monks and nuns. You can't get more isolated from society than that.
Right.
Going back to like 900 AD, one of the earliest composer names we know is that of a monk who wrote Gregorian chant. And that's a way of pulling yourself out of the distractions of life to give yourself a space in which you can write, create music, create art.
Right. Let's listen to an example, because what we have here is an example of the idea of being lonely treated very compassionately by a composer whose work wasn't always sad. It could be, but was very often cheerful and lively. The composer I'm thinking about here is Franz Schubert,
mm-hmm.
One of the great melodic geniuses who ever lived, died at 30 or 31.
Something like that.
Right. And this is his song from a cycle called Winterreise, or Winter's Trip. And the name of the song is Einsamkeit, or Loneliness. Let's listen to a piece of this. Nobody could make the mistake that that's a happy song. No, this is about as bad as it gets. and in fact, the whole song cycle of Die Winterreise is very dark and is a lonely journey through winter.
Well, yeah, the backstory is the speaker, the singer, the character was engaged to a young woman
right.
back in the spring. But now he's not anymore, and we're not sure exactly what happened, but he's devastated. You know, the problem with having boundless love is that the loved one is eventually going to set boundaries, and I think in this case she posted a no trespassing sign. So he takes off, and he's just desolate. And whether he's with people or he's on his own, he feels so alone in the universe.
Right, and Schubert really treats that loneliness through the cycle. I think there is 18 songs or 19 songs in the cycle, I'm not sure. But there's an arc to the thing. Mm-hmm. And he becomes more and more desolate and then finally begins to pull out of it, not completely. But you know, what Schubert is writing here is a song cycle that is relying on German poets. And
Wilhelm Müller,
in the case of this cycle. And, you know, this is Sturm und Drang stuff, storm and stress. It doesn't get stormier and stressier, you know, than this. We in the prior segment, we kind of touched a little bit on Rodgers and Hammerstein, and we listened to something that was really very lonely, Judd Fry's Lonely Room. But the concept of loneliness can also be disguised in music that sounds kind of happy. This is a song that I think will be familiar to many of our listeners, and it's from Rodgers and Hammerstein's The Sound of Music.
I go to the hills when my heart is low. I know I will hear what I've heard before. My heart will be blessed with the sound of music, and I'll sing.
So this is a very different take on loneliness.
It is. And by the way, that's the very end of the song.
Yes.
Up till that point where we started, you think it's a happy song. In the movie, there's this aerial shot of Julie Andrews in the fields, and you see her frolicking through the trees and by a pond, and everything seems wonderful. But then at the very end, we get this admission that she goes to the hills when her heart is lonely.
Right, and you know, you can't mistake Julie Andrews' voice for anybody else's. So this was from the movie, not from the Broadway show. But you can't listen to that voice without just wondering how she does it. The diction is incredible, the pitch is incredible, but also the inner belief in what she's singing.
Mm-hmm.
And Rodgers and Hammerstein give her exactly the right melody and exactly the right lyrics to sing.
Yeah, that's the difference between being a professional portraying a character and knowing the interior and being an audience member in the Sound of Music sing-along that they do a lot. You know,
they do a lot, right.
And you're just sitting there singing the words and you know the tune and it's great, it's fun, but you don't really internalize necessarily what the lyrics are when you're just singing along with the audience or with Julie.
Right, and of course in the original cast, Mary Martin, Larry Hagman's mom, starred as the star of the show, but to listen to her sing it, you get a very different feel. Not that she wasn't a great actress, she certainly was, but there's a whole different use of the voice and a whole different interpretation of what Rodgers and Hammerstein were talking about.
Yeah, well, part of that difference might be that Mary Martin was in the live stage version, and for one thing, she had to project to the audience.
No mics.
And that colors what you can do and what you need to do. Julie Andrews, aside from being on the big screen, was actually singing in a studio, and she could do pretty much whatever she wanted and not have to worry about projecting to the back row, you know, like Ethel Merman's standing at the edge of the stage.
Well, Ethel Merman projected to the theater across the street. but you know, certainly Julie Andrews knew how to do live theater. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, she starred in so many Broadway shows and had a very long, active musical career on the stage. But there was just, you know, something so delicious about listening to that voice. And then, you know, in my mind, just thinking about the inner workings of how she thought about those lyrics and how she dealt with loneliness. We're going to take another break. I should say that we're coming from the Green Thing Socolow Village studio and sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. This is Shelley Fishman with James Reel, the director of classical music at Arizona Public Media. We'll take a break now.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com.
Well, this is Shelley Fishman back live in the studio with James Reel from KUAT and Arizona Public Media talking about loneliness and dreariness and how composers and musicians resolve those kinds of issues. And I want to remind our listeners that our friends over in Silver City and Grant County are ready to welcome you back with open arms, because after all, this pandemic isn't going to go on forever. Just 3 hours east of Tucson, there is so much to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, where there's plenty of social distancing, and visiting the world-famous cliff dwellings and a national monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and the great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. James, thank you for being here. Let's talk a little bit about loneliness and how popular artists have very often picked up on the themes that more classical artists have raised in their work and modernized those things.
Well, gosh, you know, loneliness is something that you can find in poetry going back to ancient Greece. Often it's loneliness resulting from love affairs gone wrong. All those Renaissance madrigals about a spurned lover. All the way to today, a lot of today's songs are about popular songs are about somebody who's an outcast in one way or another.
Yeah, certainly country music figures in very much in that whole idea that a person has gone through something awful and now singing about it.
Lost my woman, lost my dog, lost my truck.
Play it backwards and I get the woman back, get the dog back. You know, the last time we did a show together, we actually used some contemporary musicians. Billy Joel comes to mind, who actually incorporated the music of, in this case, it was Beethoven, in one of his songs.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think of some others before we get into an example or two?
Let's see. About loneliness. I don't know, but in terms of the concept, I was thinking that the Judd Fry song from Oklahoma that we played near the top of the show is kind of transformed into the sullen teen song by Simon and Garfunkel in the 1960s. I Am a Rock. Do you remember that?
Yes, of course.
And
of course, it was before my time.
But it's the 1960s teenager version of the same thing, because it's this guy, teenager or college age guy, sitting in his room alone and saying, "I don't need anybody else. I'm a rock. I'm an island." You know, contradicting John Donne, you know, no man is an island. But then in the last two lines of the song, you find out what it's really about. A rock feels no pain and an island never cries. So this is a character like Judd Fry who has been hurt by others, is kind of an outcast. And he's a rock simply because that's the mindset he has to get himself into to get through puberty, basically.
So managing your own emotions becomes a very important part of managing the way out of isolation and loneliness.
That's right. And you don't get emotional management in some genres like punk rock, which is all about the expression of pain and outrage. So depending on the genre, you're going to get a different approach.
Right. And you know, I think what's more tragic than, you know, classical Italian opera and, you know, where it's kind of like American country music, only it takes four acts to do it. And you know, I was thinking certainly of the contemporary musical Rent.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's based on Puccini opera, La Boheme.
La Boheme. And also the Miss Saigon, which is also based upon a Puccini opera, Madame Butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a butterfly cut, but if you were to listen to, for instance, the waiting chorus from Madame Butterfly, where an entire entr'acte practically is spent listening to loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just really hard to conceive of. In Miss Saigon, of course, they take the butterfly story, update it to the Vietnamese War, and tell the story in more modern terms and, of course, much more modern music. I was also thinking of, again, just in the Broadway kind of context, the composer and lyricist Wrighton Forrest took so much of what was classical music and updated it and adapted it for Broadway. You know, certainly Song of Norway, the music of Edvard Grieg, mm-hmm. and they, you know, have just five or six or seven very popular musicals, one of which is called Anya, that takes the music of Rachmaninoff and brings it into one of the loneliest stories you can imagine, the Anastasia story.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this character isolated from her family, survived a massacre of her family, and now she's in Europe, in Western Europe, trying to avoid, if in fact it is Anya, if it is Anastasia, but you know that mystery is always left open. But using the music of Rachmaninoff to emphasize the dramatic turmoil that she feels. We have a cut actually from Rent that we should listen to. This is the Larson, Jonathan Larson singing. Well, Jonathan Larson musical, and the singer here is Adam Pascal, and it's from the very end of the show. It's called Your Eyes, and what he's doing is he's anticipating the death of his girlfriend, who in the classical opera La Boheme is Mimi. And what we'll hear as we listen to this is the composer bringing in a tune from the Puccini opera, just to remind us that this is where this all comes from.
Your eyes, as we said our goodbyes, can't get them out of my mind, and I find I can't hide from your eyes, the ones that took me by surprise, the night you came into my life, where there's moonlight, I see your eyes. How'd I let you slip away when I'm longing so to hold you? Something I should told you.
Well, that's pretty grim.
Romantic era operas like La Boheme and La Traviata, the heroines dying of what they called consumption back then, tuberculosis.
Right.
And Rent, they're all dying of AIDS. So it's updated to contemporary issues in that way, too.
Right. In the opera, Rodolfo, who is the La Boheme version of what you just heard in Rent, doesn't get to sing a farewell aria to Mimi. He simply, you know, holds her and shouts in desperation, "Ah, Mimi, mia bella Mimi."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they've spent the last couple of minutes fantasizing about getting back together,
right,
when springtime comes. So They're lying to themselves.
Exactly.
That there's a way out of the loneliness.
So, and which brings up an interesting, you know, question of can these feelings of isolation lead you to self-deception?
Oh, well, yes, definitely. I think, well, going back to I Am a Rock, the singer doesn't have to be a loner, but he's been hurt by others, right, one way or another. Schubert's character in Winterreise has been spurned, and so you tend to magnify the injuries done to yourself. And if you focus on that, which was part of a lot of song cycles, Mahler's Songs of a Wayfarer,
right,
somebody hurts you, you go off and you sulk.
Yeah, there's another Schubert song cycle called Die Gesange des Harfners, the harpist's song. There's such three short songs that, again, you know, take out a razor blade and slit your wrist. there's no light coming through those curtains whatsoever. This guy is just desperate.
Right. But in that Schubert song cycle, Winterreise, that we had earlier,
right,
there is a glimmer of hope.
Yes.
It still ends with a very depressing song about an organ grinder that nobody gives money to. But there is some idea that maybe things will resolve themselves somehow.
Right. And you don't leave the concert hall after listening to Winterreise, you know, feeling necessarily bereft. He gives you lots of opportunities, and musicians, classical musicians, modern musicians, are using their art to manipulate your emotions. I mean, that's what art is about in so many ways. And I know when I've listened to that song cycle, I haven't come away feeling necessarily desperate.
Mm-hmm. And yet, desperation is much more interesting to depict through through song or through story. I mean, what is it, the opening line of, is it Anna Karenina, to the effect that all happy families are alike, but it's the unhappy families. I don't remember exactly,
right,
but it's easier to probe the depths of unhappiness and desperation and loneliness than to come up with something interesting about being happy and cheerful.
It's a great observation. I mean, it's just so right, not to minimize the depth of work that goes into portraying loneliness, but yeah, I mean, you know, when you're portraying something difficult, it's attractive to a creative mind.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take our last break. Again, this is Shelley Fishman filling in for Bill Buckmaster, and I'm here with James Real, and we're talking about loneliness and bringing it into today's environment of the pandemic and our coming out of the pandemic.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona.
where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Okay, Shelley Fishman back live, talking to you from the Green Thing Socolow Village studio. And I'm here filling in for Bill Buckmaster, who's on vacation. And I have James Reel, the director of classical music from Arizona Public Media, with me here in the studio. James, thanks again for coming in.
I always love coming in and driving away Bill's regular audience.
We're talking about loneliness. We're talking about coming out of the pandemic and into a more optimistic view of you know, the world that we see. And you know, one of the interesting things about the way music plays into these feelings is that it doesn't always necessarily have to be a composer or a lyricist who expresses these feelings. Sometimes it can be somebody who is a more instrumental or even an electronic player, somebody who is adopting music and choosing pieces to adapt that are reflective of his or her own state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, I mean, the case of Wendy Carlos comes to mind.
Yeah, that's a very interesting case. Wendy began as Walter Carlos in the 1960s. Walter realized that he wasn't really comfortable being a male and started undergoing hormone therapy and was a pioneer in using the Moog synthesizer to create music with. Very complex system with all these patch chords, and there was a keyboard involved, but you just have to deal with sine waves and things like that, making them make the right sound and working at it line by line by line. And in 1968, CBS Records released Switched on Bach.
Right.
Big hit, and released it under the name Walter Carlos. But by this time, Carlos had been undergoing therapy and hadn't had surgery yet, but would, and was, for all intents and purposes, a woman in appearance, certainly, and found herself having to do public appearances as Walter Carlos when she was actually turning into quite an attractive woman. And so for these occasions, she would put on a man's wig and false sideburns.
Right.
And try to come off as Walter Carlos talking about this hit record that she never thought was going to be a hit. It's music that is arranged from pieces by Johann Sebastian Bach, great Baroque era composer, died in 1650. 1750. Yeah, and gave it this electronic sound. And the first cut on that album was this big, glorious, originally brassy, organy piece, a fanfare. And I suspect that choice may have reflected Carlos's feelings of finally finding out who she was.
Right, and within that album, there were also some very, very grim pieces, made more grim, I think, by the electronification of the music. What we're going to do, first of all, before we do it, I have to thank John Couch, who's our producer today, and who has a lot more complex job than we usually get on the Buckmaster Show, and he's doing a brilliant job of it. So what we're going to do is we're going to listen to two cuts from Switched on Bach. The first is Wendy Carlos at his most grim, or her most grim, and then a much more, you know, bright and happy emergence as a female.
Thank you.
Back live. That was two cuts from Switched on Bach. The first was a version of
that was a slow movement from slow movement the Brandenburg
from the Brandenburg concerto, right? Then you brought in a CD of that second cut.
That's an electronic version of the opening movement of a Bach cantata, work for church use. He arranged that for string orchestra, brass, busy organ part. Really a fanfare, a very joyful piece that started out as a piece for solo violin. Talk about loneliness. You got one violinist playing this whole sequence of movements.
And of course, Bach wrote several suites for both solo violin and solo cello.
Yeah, six for solo cello and three sonatas, three partitas for solo violin. And I like ending the Carlos segment with a happy sinfonia because there's kind of a happy ending for Wendy Carlos, who has been very private, very reserved all of her life. And she was afraid of coming out as trans because in the 70s, who knew what kind of reaction you were going to get. But she finally came out in an interview with Playboy magazine, of all places, expecting who knows what. And she was stunned by how indifferent the response was. Oh, well, okay, so she's Wendy now, fine. And nobody really cared that much. And yet she's always guarded her privacy. And I think because of being unsure of how society was going to accept her, she's remained closed in. She's not a hermit. She has friends, but she's just not public at all.
Right. So there's a musical by Stephen Sondheim, who, of course, does the music and the lyrics for his musicals. And the musical is called Company. And even though the name of the musical, Company, would lead you to believe there are lots of people involved, and there certainly are, but the lead character is very isolated, very lonely, very much a strange person until the very end of the show, in which he sees that he needs other people, that in fact life isn't worth much without other people, and sings a song called Being Alive. This is Dean Jones from the recording session of the original cast of Company.
Somebody hold me too close. Somebody hurt me too deep. Somebody sit in my chair and ruin my sleep and make me aware of being alive. Being alive. Somebody need me too much.
Love to listen to that whole thing, but I just
sang that song at the end of Marriage Story, that Netflix movie. Dean Jones even had to drop out of Company. Did you know this? Early in the run, he dropped out because his marriage was falling apart, and he just couldn't sing that song every night.
And this recording with Dean Jones was at the end of a very long recording session where they just weren't getting it all right.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, one last time, give it a try, and he nails it.
Yeah.
It's just perfect. Well, I'm here. This is Shelley Fishman. I'm here with James Reel, filling in for Bill Buckmaster. We're about to complete this show on composers and lyricists doing lonely and then coming out of lonely. I want to thank you, James, for doing this for the fifth year in a row.
It's loads of fun.
During Bill's vacations. Next week, I'll also be hosting in a very different kind of show. We've got Jonathan Rothschild, the former mayor, and Dr. Brent Millward, who is professor in the School of Government and Public Policy at the U. We're going to talk about the responsibility of corporations to their stakeholders and vice versa, the stakeholders to the corporations that they work with. But until then, we promised that we would show you how Beethoven resolves his feeling of loneliness. And what we'd like to do is listen a little bit to the ode to joy.